this Kohler guy I'm telling you about, would you believe it? He makes as much money as me.
Then he must be twice as smart as you.
From the KKFI studios in Midtown, it's time for Khadija and the White Guys.
Good morning. It's Keith Washburn.
And I'm Khadija Hardaway. Toot toot, baby.
Our guest this morning is Carl Boyd. And I don't know a lot about Carl, so Khadija, take it away.
Well, Carl Boyd has been around for a very long, long time, but he looks great for his age.
Thank you.
He is one of the founders of Generation Rap. That's on KPRS. It comes on every morning. I mean, I'm sorry, every Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Yes, it does.
And it's a group of teens that give you the latest news in the community. And he has been a mentor of many young people. He has a program called Stoots for Boots, where he tutors young men and women in various areas of education, correct?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Stoots for Boots. Stoots is short for students. Boots stands for troops. It is American students striving for excellence in honor of our troops.
Okay, cool.
And that is explained in a book titled Academic Patriotism, which is what I work from when I train teachers on this concept.
Cool. And he's currently working on a project that helps young African Americans between the ages of 5 and 25. It actually educates them on finances, helps to keep them out of debt, you know, before the race starts.
I would hope.
And so the name of that program is the Keys to Kujilaju.
Uh-huh. Actually, we are...
Go ahead and say that.
The Keys to Kujichagulia.
Kujichagulia. I'm going to get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so do any of you know what Kujichagulia means?
Go right ahead.
An African proverb, and it means self-determination. I know there's a lot of people out there that probably don't recognize that and don't use that term often, but it is the very fabric that African-American young people need to actually strive in today's world, I think.
And one of the people who might be listening is Ajamu Webster. Ajamu Webster is the president of the Kansas City chapter of the Black United Front.
Correct, yes.
And he is one of those who is intimately familiar with Kujichagulia. And he celebrates, or we celebrate with the Black United Front each year, Kwanzaa. Kujichagulia is the second principle of Kwanzaa. So you have the principle which is umoja, that's unity. Kujichagulia is self-determination. Ujima is collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa is cooperative economics. Nia is purpose. Kaumba is creativity. And Imani is faith. So those are the seven principles of the Nguzo Saba in Kiswahili. But our program with the Black Economic Union is Kujichagulia, where we emphasize self-determination.
And why is self-determination so important to finances?
One of the things that is important, culturally speaking, is to rear children in a way that their motivation even for learning is to at some point become self-determining so that they can take care of families for generations to come and we can indeed take care of ourselves.
So, you know, looking at some statistics just from, you know, the American population, just give us a little idea of what being in debt is like. There is more than half of Americans don't have a savings account with $500 in it. 31% of them don't have retirement plans. or any form of savings or investings. Most people do not know the rule or information in growing your money, the rule of 72. These statistics sound alarming, but if you look at the black population, it is even more alarming to them because of the poverty that they live in, a lot of them. And I'm not saying that a lot of them don't live in poverty. You know, there is a significant number of African Americans in the urban core that are living in poverty. And they start out with a good credit score. But as things progress, those credit scores drop due to, I would like to say, some of the acronyms in the community, like the payday loan lenders, for one. Your first payday loan can set you into debt, literally.
Yes.
Healthcare bills, lack of insurance, and being able to take care of yourself and buying medications also make you fall into debt. There's a variety of issues that make you fall into debt, but there is a lot of things that will also help you to grow wealth. And so we're always sitting on the inside, the side of debt. Mm-hmm. How do we get to the side of wealth and economics for African Americans? You know, because I know for a lot of white people and doing their hair, and I listen to them and I talk to them, a lot of them, you know, once a kid turns 21, they're still at home. They usually don't leave home until 27. When they leave home, they have built up wealth, savings, you know, in case of a rainy day. Their parents are helping them in getting them a place to stay. Oftentimes, and I'm just speaking from my experience, I'm not going to speak for the entire black race, but oftentimes I see my peers put their children out at 21. If you're not going to college, if you don't have a job, if you don't have X, Y, and Z, at 21, it's time for you to go. The nest is empty, you know. And often I think they're not mature enough financially, you know, in the brain to accept that responsibility. And so they get out there and their credit is shredded. This show is to bring about a change in that, right?
Now, let me indicate and offer a thank you, by the way, to Marvin Lyman. Okay. He is the president of the Black Economic Union. This program is a result of establishing a component of the Black Economic Union, a brand new component, if you will, to which we refer as Black Economic Youth Coalition, BEYC, the Black Economic Youth Coalition. And when he allowed me to introduce that to the Black Economic Union, I suggested to him that one of the ways we could help youth become self-determining economically would be to expose them to those who have expertise in various areas of economic literacy. So with the keys to Kujichagulia, we have panelists, distinguished panelists, among them Khadija Hardaway, who will talk from their perspective on this subject weekly.
Yes, I'm very excited to do that. You know, I've taken on the challenge of trying to educate my people about finances and how to create wealth, not so much in the rear of how to get out of debt, but I want to start with young people and get them a fresh start.
Sometimes
it's too late for us older ones. But if you're paying attention to this conversation and you like to be a part, give us a call here at the station, 816-931-5534. I might just toot you when you call in. And if you're watching on Facebook, make sure that you turn your radio on so that you can hear the callers when they call in. I cannot filter the question to you from here, from my earphone. So just to let you know that. But if you guys don't know Marvin Lyman, right?
Yes.
Makes me think of Frankie Lyman. He makes the best fried chicken, too, you know, that used to be down there at Papa Lou's.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is now the Peachtree there.
Absolutely.
Which shows
That's
you
right.
that, you know,
That's right.
black people are trying to make their headway in economics. Yes. You know, being down there at 18th and Vine, does that speak a lot to this program, 18th and Vine, because it once was a flourishing area for African Americans?
As a matter of fact, those who look up Black Economic Union will find, and I think it was, as long ago as 1968, and I'm going to look and make sure, but there were professionals who made the determination that the 18th and Vine area was important enough, not just to Kansas City, but to the United States of America, to revitalize and sustain their contribution to the central city of Kansas City, Missouri. And it is still a vital area, and I would like to think revitalizing in an aggressive way towards complementing the economic aspirations for the entire city. And I'm really blessed that they allowed me office as in the 18th and Vine Historic Lincoln Building to follow up on this project.
Let me ask you, is there any fear of what it would be like to have a Black Wall Street, seeing that it was bombed? Is this what we're trying to evoke with these young kids? I know, you know, I think of my parents and how they were pioneers mm-hmm. of our communities,
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
And they built churches, they built mosques, and this came from their own pockets, the wealth that they built, whether it was their 401k, a retirement plan. Mm. Are we trying to instill in these kids to be the next pioneers, to build up the next Black Wall Street? And is there any fear in that? Because we know as quick as we build something, it can be torn down.
Now, let me say to you that if indeed that were the case, I would actually love to use this opportunity to allay any fears that someone might have for success. As a matter of fact, it would be a wonderful problem to have to anticipate that we are so wealthy that we might be a threat to the overall economy. I think that we will, in fact, enhance the overall economy, because when you begin to become the kinds of earners we would like for young people to be in the urban core, you enhance everything that is around you, which is what we seek to do. So it would be my prayer that the kind of success that was seen in the 1920s, to imagine that we had the number of banking institutions that we had.
It was over 20 banks.
Yes, and there were white farmers who would execute loans from Black banks, so that this was not a Black thing within the context of this is something for us, by us, with us. This was something for the overall economy. So I would love to become that kind of threat where we might fear retaliation because we're so successful economically.
So is this... this program, does it allow kids to be hands-on with?
As a matter of fact, again, that is what we project. There are a few things that we have done. I've created a game called Keywords that young people can participate in, and I'll tell you more about that when it is developed to the fullest. But we want young people to be involved. And here's the thing. It's a financial literacy. By the way, you said 5 to age 25. It's actually 5 to age 30, a 25-year financial literacy plan from age 5.
Okay.
Now, the idea there, rather obviously, is, one, if we are involving 5-year-olds, that necessarily involves their parents and guardians,
mm-hmm.
because the 5-year-olds are not going to get the greater context immediately. But what we want to do is create a habit of being financially literate.
Well, you know, you bring up some interesting points. And when I think about this, I often think about when I was growing up, and I my parents gave me an allowance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. with that allowance, you're kind of allowed to do what you wanted to do with it, you
yeah.
know, as long as your chores were done. And I grew up with 8 siblings.
Yes.
And there were some of us who were yeah. just, you know, we're going to go out and buy a Vest Pop, a pickle,
sure.
or whatever. And then there were some of us that just said, we're going to save for a particular reason,
mm-hmm.
or what have you. And I can say very few of us thought about actually saving it for the future of our lives. With kids not even getting allowances nowadays
mm-hmm.
and have no real economic turning engine in them,
mm-hmm.
how do you bring that about? Because we live in a world where parents are in debt and they're
sure.
living paycheck to paycheck, so it's not easy for. And then we also live in a world where, don't beat me up for this, but fast food jobs used to belong to teenagers,
mm-hmm.
but we live in a world where fast food work jobs now belong to mothers and fathers trying to
yes.
raise children.
Yes.
And so how do we develop young kids in this world where things have the dynamics have shifted so much from where we used to mm-hmm. have that to teach them?
You develop them slowly. There's a gentleman who wrote a book, The Greatest Salesman in the World.
His name Ogmandino?
Ogmandino. And one of the things that Ogmandino said in The Greatest Salesman in the World, if you want to trace a person's success, observe their habits. Now then, if we can be successful at creating a culture where it is habitual
mm-hmm.
to live within your means, however little you have, if those experts who are on our panel
mm-hmm.
can instill within our viewers and listeners the capacity to understand that, yes, we start where we are with whatever we have and learn to manage that, and it becomes a habit, then you get the opportunity to appreciate what money does at a very young age, and you put away some of what you have and you observe your parents living within their means and learning how to explore and exploit the resources that are in your own community that you don't always see and understand.
Which brings me to Dre Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about him because he is cultivating young men
mm-hmm.
to be productive
yes.
in their finances and in their lives. And I see him taking these young men to the city market
mm-hmm.
and, you know, producing work
yes.
and producing an income.
Yes.
We need more programs like that so that the example is an experience that you're having. You see what I'm saying? Because we live in a world, it's cool to say the parents, if they live within their means, but if you're living on Section 8 and you're relying on a government check
mm-hmm.
and government food stamps, that's not always a reality to say that you can save something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as these kids are developed, it's important to put them in the hands of people like Dre Taylor.
Absolutely.
And other people that are sowing economic seeds into young people, showing them how to be a business owner, entrepreneur, and how to work hard for your money. I think the one thing wrong with our kids is that they have instant gratification.
Oh, sure.
They hardly ever work for anything that they want. We just give it to them because we think they ought to have it, and we
mm-hmm.
want them to look like shiny new diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, you have nothing tangible to hold on to. You're going to get old one day.
See, one of the things that occurs to me as you say what many of the parents and guardians do not have
mm-hmm.
is asking what I would hope would be a rhetorical question. Do you want your children to suffer the same plight?
Right.
The likelihood is the answer would be no. So if you cannot overcome your dire plight next week,
mm-hmm.
you can help your children to understand how important it is to become self-determining, to appreciate money, to live within your means, and here again, hopefully with the keys to Kuji Chagalia, be exposed to experts who can tell you. But one of the mistakes that we make that is consistent with your observation as it relates to immediate gratification is also the need for immediate solutions. We want to find that magic pill that will improve our plight and do it very quickly. So the idea behind saying a financial literacy plan, a 25-year, is to say that I think it's only intelligent to understand that this is not something that's going to be resolved quickly, and it will not be something that is resolved easily. But if you start early enough, it doesn't have to be as difficult as we think, but it will take perhaps as long as we think and will require certain disciplines within your capacity to exercise that discipline.
So what would be the measure of success for an individual?
Oh, now, if we are going to measure by result, and it is a 25-year plan, I would love to see, and I'm saying 25 after age 5 is only 30, but being somewhat realistic, I would love to see those within our community by year 50 be debt-free, homeowners, contributing to the tax base of the area where you live, instead of our adopting the philosophy of telling young people, if you do X, Y, and Z, this could be your ticket out. No, I would like to begin to tell young people this could be your way to stay, meaning let us shore up our own communities and not see them as something that we need to plan or hope to get out of.
Well, you know, there's no ticket out. That's just an illusion.
Well, but it has become the cliche of projecting the message that this is some place that we want to get away from rather than some place
we need to be,
where we need to be and want to be.
And build. Yeah, that's one of the things Dre Taylor told me, is he's so disappointed with people who have made it. They move out of the neighborhood and the neighborhood continues to just cave. So actually, you know, a little bit about Dre. He went to a program called Weibo. Are you familiar with that, Carl?
I'm not.
And he came back to speak to the graduation ceremony just a couple of weeks ago. I was there. And Dre is a great student. That's the one thing about Dre. He is going to, no matter where you put him, he's going to be learning something about something everywhere he goes. And that's what we want to instill in these kids, too, is constant learning, lifetime learning, that sort of thing. So he went to the Weibo program. One of those, it's a 16-week course. It stands for, it's W-I-B-O, and it stands for Workshop in Business Opportunities. But they do have a personal finance section on it, and talking about the same things that you're wanting to talk about with these kids.
And you see, he would be precisely the guest I would want on a show, and those who are like him on a show. But it would not just be guest on a show on a particular Thursday, but Andre Taylor is available. He's in the community. He's touchable. He's right now, and he's young, and we need to do more with those who are young and are young leaders in the community, because he becomes a role model, which is important, but more important, he has a model role, and that is the model we want our young people to follow. So he is exemplary, and that's what I'm talking about. And once again, Andre didn't do what he did quickly. He put the time in, he did the study, and now he can teach others how to do what he has done, is doing.
Yeah, I just want to remind our listeners, we're talking this morning with Carl Boyd, and he's talking about his program, The Keys to Self-Determination. So we were just kind of digressing there a little bit about Dre Taylor. And Dre runs a program called Males to Men, right,
yes.
Khadija?
Correct. Yep.
And then he's also head of that aquaponics thing that we've talked about several times.
Over 29th.
Yeah, grand opening coming up.
Yeah.
It's over 29th and Wabash, going to be producing a whole lot of tilapia. And, yeah, the grand opening coming up very soon.
Fruits, vegetables. I mean,
yes.
He has chickens.
And let me say to I grew up in Chicago, and old Mayor Daley used to say to both of you, let me say to the both of you, that to address Andre Taylor is really not a digression. It is precisely what we are talking about and pointing towards for young people who might be viewers of Keys to Kujichagulia or Keys to Self-Determination.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your call this morning. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 816-931-5534. And we also want to make a special announcement. Khadija's going to talk about this a little bit, that our friends over at Eggs and Enlightenment are having a special morning. That's tomorrow, right, Khadija?
It is tomorrow, March the 10th, and Sonny Gibson is the chair over there. They're going to have a guest speaker, Duro Forte, the chief of police, and there will be an overview by Archie Williams. So go on down and visit McDonald's on 14th and Prospect, right across the street from the car wash, and just down the road from 70 Highway. Yeah, I think their program starts about 8:30.
Yeah, Chief Forte tomorrow. So that's a great program. They meet every week on Friday. They're at the McDonald's. Eggs and Enlightenment. And, you know, our phone answerer, Mr. Kareem, that is Murad Kareem, right
Kareem.
Next door here. Brother Kareem is answering the phone for us this morning. And I think we have a caller right now. Let's see if we can get the caller on the line here. I think, caller, are you there? Say your name and what area of town you're calling in from.
Yes, sir. This is Andre Thurman, director of 100 Men of Blue Hills.
Andre,
choo-choo,
good
baby.
Morning.
Hey.
Yes. Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Better now that we hear your voice.
I just had to call in and say, hey, man, first of all, y'all were speaking to Dre Taylor, and I wanted to say I definitely salute him and look forward to working with him and seeing him and supporting him however I can in the near future. Secondly, want to say it's a pleasure to hear from Mr. Boyd this morning. And, of course, our Khadija. It's a pleasure to hear from y'all this morning. But I just wanted to say to Mr. Boyd, as usual, you're dead on about where we need to be at in regards to our young people.
And let me say to Andre Thurman, that when I get the opportunity to in-service teachers wherever I am, one of the things that I tell teachers is young people learn more by example than they do by instruction.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
this is another Andre who is an example. And when I think about that television program in 1994 when we had the summit, and the media wanted to refer to it as a gang summit, but it was a peace and justice summit, a peace summit. And Andre Thurman at the time was one of the stars of the summit because of overcoming what he did wrong. And now he is a couple of decades of the kind of example our young people need. So thank you for
well,
all you do.
I could say something about it. It's like you're getting an award or something.
That's
you know?
All right.
Aren't you glad you called this morning?
Khadija Award. But I just wanted to say, you know, I just leaving out of the meeting with you on Monday, you exemplify everything that he is talking about, self-determination, not depending on other folks, depending on yourself to pull yourself up and to do what's needed. And also be the example to just show people that we are capable and able of doing for our own. So I greatly appreciate you. You lead more than 100 men. I just want you to
know right. That. That's right.
And I do want to say, be confident that we're on our way to well over 100 and that this body has begun to spread on the national level. And we understand, you know, that this is something that's needed all over the world, the unification of our young people. And just the stepping out on our own and doing what needs to be done for ourselves, by ourselves, and just taking the lead, using that natural leadership that we have and exerting it in our own community that we know is starving for it.
Well, Andre, don't be surprised when you get my call asking you to be one of the guests on this new television program, The Keys to Kujichagulia, because we need your example and your words of wisdom.
Oh, yes, sir. You know I'll be waiting on your call. And thanks again to you, Cardbus, for your years of service here, man, and your example, definitely. And to Khadija and my friend, the white guy there, I appreciate you.
Right on.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Oh, good call.
All right, Andre Thurman. Well, that's a good surprise call this morning. And again, the phone number, if you want to call in, 816-931-5534. We're talking about the keys to self-determination and teaching our young friends, young men and women, both, and this is primarily in the black community, but I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of white kids that need it too,
mm-hmm.
which is all about personal finances. And I guess really, I would ask you this, Mr. Boyd.
Sure.
There's two ends of the equation. One is the getting it, meaning mm-hmm. making the money, and then there's the keeping the money.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Let me tell you, and this will mark my age. I read a book called Yes, I Can, and this was not President Barack Obama. This was a book by Sammy Davis Jr.
All right.
So I read Yes, I Can a couple of times, and his uncle, Will Mastin, was a gentleman our singing group met when we were in California. But one of the things that Sammy Davis Jr. said in his book about being in entertainment was his uncle taught him that show business is two words. There is the show,
mm-hmm.
and there is the business.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cannot take care of business, you don't need to be on the show. So that
it.
Your observation is so poignant as it relates to the ability of many young people who have come from meager beginnings to get into entertainment, to get into athletics, to learn how to get it. But the reason I say the keeping of it needs to be instilled at an early age so that it becomes a habit is because so often when we get it, especially a high lump sum,
mm-hmm.
there are what you were talking about earlier, the shiny objects that we want, and we fail to save first.
Right.
10 and 10. First, 10% to God, 10% to the household.
And if you're behind, another 10%.
Well, without a doubt. Yes, the keeping it. Go right ahead,
Pete. Yeah, we've got a couple of callers. So let's. Our guest this morning is Carl Boyd, and we'd love to hear from you. We have a caller right now. What's your name and area town you're calling in from?
Brother Ron McMillan.
Hey, Brother Ron.
How's it going?
Good to hear your voice.
My Lord. This
give my salute to my mentor and leader when I first got here to this town, Carl Boyd.
Well,
love you, man. Always good to hear your voice and your ideas and your leadership and education is awesome. We can say enough about you. One of the things I wanted to share, Kujichagulia, a calendar that gives all the principles for Kwanzaa should be made. So
ooh,
each day,
ooh,
we could guide ourselves. And we thought about that years ago, right?
Man.
But for the 7 days, you have a calendar. And each day, every Monday, you know, it's, you know, this day and next day. And we have a guide that helps us institutionalize our whole Kwanzaa concept. Because just once a year, 7 days does not put it into our blood and our brains and keep us on focus.
Ooh.
And self-determination is a very powerful thing. And Khadija, too, baby. I was thinking about the financial thing you're talking about. And y'all might remember when I was carrying around this old big jug of pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember that one? I'm all over town. Every matter of fact, Eggs and Enlightenment, you talked about, I'm meeting tomorrow. But I had a jug so big, I had to put it on a little carrier. And every meeting, I just want your pennies. My goal was, and I done got sick now, I don't even have a car no more. I can't do what I was doing. But the idea I want to pass on to some younger, healthier people is collect all the pennies that we can. My goal was 1 million pennies that are now being thrown away left on calendars, on the street, in piggy banks, all over the place, meaning nothing. But together, if we start putting all of our pennies together, I have figured out if we collected 1 million pennies, we would have $10,000 in cash that we could work with. Use our local black bank, make us a website, have children, baseball teams, basketball teams, organizations. Just go get pennies. Even check this out, even churches. Go to churches and say, look, we just want your pennies now.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
A penny collection, right?
Now,
put them pennies into a grand fund where we would have money on hand, because we're about to have some serious hard times where we won't be getting the gravy we used to get, not that we got that much. But we're going to get, if you thought you got a lot when you had a white president and then a black president, now you got a madman president, think what you're going to get if we don't have our own funds and available ways to, and the pennies are devalued in our society. We throw them away. It's just a campaign, so that's just an idea.
Nah. That's a great idea.
And I'd like to see us be able to make that. That's just money laying around our houses.
Now, listen.
If you check right now, how many pennies you got laying around your house?
My God.
You know? Yeah.
Okay. Well, let Mr. Boyd speak about the pennies.
I mean, Ron McMillan, my goodness, the New York-Chicago connection here. So we were mentoring each other, apparently, because I see you that way. And you know, this evening when we tape our very first show, Ajamu Webster is going to be on the program. You know I'm going to tell Ajamu or remind him of your calendar idea, because being 7 days in the week, if we started on Monday with the last day of the week then instead of being the beginning, Sunday is faith with the seven principles. But that is a fantastic idea, and I'm going to pass that along to your good friend and our young mentor, Ajamu Webster. And the other ideas that you have, I hope that you have put them in a manual, a book, something. If you're talking about passing the baton, we'll help you pass it.
Writing up things. Oh, yeah. Yes, I can. Oh, I love that book. Sammy what? Davis Jr.
See there?
That book changed my life.
There you go.
Glad to hear you mention it.
I'm glad you remember it. Everybody is not quite as old as we, so thank you.
Oh, man, the story in that book is so awesome. I met Sammy Davis Jr. on the streets of New York one day.
Is that right?
Yeah, we talked for
listen,
about 5 minutes.
Ron and Carl.
It was the best encounter I ever had with a person.
Ron and Carl.
All right.
He was really gracious and nice and a beautiful person.
Okay. We have a caller
that book
waiting.
Is profound. Okay, thank you for letting me get in for a minute there. God bless you.
Y'all need to set up lunch.
Peace be unto
there you.
Peace.
Right on. All right. Thanks, Ron McMillan. Always good to hear from Ron, Brother Ron. And we do have another caller. What's your name and area town you're calling in from?
My name is Clifford Hill.
Clifford.
And I'm calling from Shawnee, Kansas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What? I'm getting the feedback.
Yeah, you just keep talking because you're like coming in loud and clear. You're fine.
Okay. Yes. What I would like to recommend is that you know, this idea, and it's very catching, where you was talking something about a theme of observe the habits of successful people.
Yes, sir.
That is profound, and it is very powerful, and is a very simple concept.
Wow.
But I think it goes much further than just finances. It goes to health issues, good health habits, good health outcomes. I think it goes to employment issues. Get up early enough to get yourself to your employment on time by maybe using an alarm clock. It's a wide range of good habits that contribute to a wide range of successes. So what I would like to see, since it is such a profound and simplistic concept, is if you actually consider something like a bumper sticker or some T-shirt or something, because if you really think about it, outcomes have a lot to do, if not everything to do, with habits. And I think people look at they look at success, and they tend to look at it as a singular issue. But success starts with many small habits. But if you could just get people to think in terms of, look, if I want to get from A to Z, I've got to engage in different habits that I have been, or I have to employ additional or different habits, and maybe I can start on my way doing that. But the whole idea, again, and I don't want to try to be too complicated with that, but is if we could get our people, especially our young people, to start thinking in terms of what are the habits that I'm engaged in, and what are the habits that I probably need to be engaged in that I'm not engaged in, and then start thinking about the concept of success. If I want to be successful, and I think everybody will tell you I want to be successful,
yes,
you got to start getting people to just almost, it's got to be in their DNA. So anyway, I don't want to belabor that particular point because I think it's so beautiful and so profound. But if there was a bumper sticker anywhere that I could buy that says, you know, if you want to be successful, observe the habits of those who are successful, and it cost me $2 or $5, I'd buy it and put it on my car because I fell in love with that concept.
Well, I agree with you. I think that more people see what it is they need to become and more they visualize it, it's what you call marketing and branding, the more they become it. I mean, media does it to us every day. Commercials does it to us every day. I think pushing it a little further than a bumper sticker and maybe make it something that people see visibly all the time on the back of bus stops, on a cup, different, you know, areas where you would frequent, a coffee shop. I think it's a very good idea. And I also think it starts to getting the wheels to turn in people's head. The thing about habit and your health and anything you do, they all connect. You cannot have one without the other. You're going to have a healthy body in order to produce wealth or anything you want or desire without having it have any tainting to it. A lot of times you can build wealth, and because if you're not thinking properly, you can lose it. A lot of times you can be healthy and you can still be broke because you're so obsessed with being healthy. So you have to have an equal balance of all of it. And I think all of it goes hand in hand. But again, branding is significant in anything that we try to do because this country is built on branding and infiltrating people's mind through manipulation.
Yeah, no doubt. Mr. Hill's got a good idea. So thanks for calling in this morning.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we lost Mr. Boyd for a minute.
I'll tell you a story real quick, though, is and a lot of people have heard this, but Mike Tyson made over $200 million in his fighting career. He's a boxer. And for those of you that are too young to remember Mike Tyson, he was one of the best boxers in his time. And over $200 million, that's some change there. And he ended up bankrupt. So what Mr. Boyd is bringing to us this morning is really important for everybody. It's not just for people that aren't making very much money, but even those who make a lot of money can still manage to somehow let it just fall through their fingers.
Well, you know, it's responsibility is that other end of it. If you don't understand, you can make it, but if you don't understand how to keep it, then you're not going to keep it. You know, it's just like he said, you may get an inheritance and you blow the inheritance on a brand new car that's worth nothing at the end of the day. And I think the biggest thing about saving money is that people forget that one day you're going to get old. And there is a lot of responsibility that you have to put in other people's hands as you get old. As I go to the retirement homes and I see the number of white people in retirement homes versus black people, and some of them that the black people that are there, they're suffering through finances. This is the type of thing that makes me and draws me closer to wanting to teach people and educate people about finances, because your loved ones are not always going to be able to put you up in their house and take care of you. You may end up in a facility, and you want to be in one that is treating you Right, and money speaks to that all the time.
Absolutely. And we want to say a shout out to Larry Bankston this morning and his wife Janice. They've been on our show before.
Which are taking a trip to Florida. I wish I was there. I'll make it one day.
There's a guy who teaches money management, and obviously he's done pretty well himself in money management. And so, yeah, they've been on the show and also been on our Thursday night gatherings. And last week you had a gathering. You want to say anything about how that went? I thought it went great.
Well, yeah, last week's gathering with Emmett last Till's cousin.
Thursday night, yeah.
Wheeler Parker was in town. We had him here on the radio show, and then we had lunch with the panelist. And the lunch was really the most intimate time I think we had. And it was really good luncheon. And then the program. The program was really significant to my church members. We were commissioned on social justice to make a move, you know. And so one of the things I wanted to do was, because most of our members live on the Missouri side, was to educate them in who their leaders were in social justice. And so we had Rodney Williams from the SCLC. We had Michael Brooks from Moore Squared, and we had Vernon Howard was the SCLC, and the other one was the NAACP.
We had some powerhouse speakers.
And then the interesting thing about bringing Wheeler Parker here is that his wife is just as dynamic as he is.
Oh, my gosh. She rocked.
Yeah, so she gave us momentum in actually making our movement move forward. So we are going to have a meeting this coming Friday, the committee at our church, and we're going to plan what we do next. And we're going to involve a lot of people that were there because, of course, we're looking to unite people. So we appreciate everybody that came out, everybody that supported the event, and again, the panelists. And Mr. Boyd was on the panelist as well. He was speaking to unity in education. Yes. Which are core pieces to understanding finances is, one, we want to unify our community, and two, we want to educate them in finances. And the only way to really unify and have something tangible towards that is through the vehicle of finances. And so, yeah, it was a dynamic event, and I got a lot of feedback.
Khadija did a great job. I had nothing to do with it except that I was there to record it, and we're going to probably play excerpts from the evening later on this show, but Khadija did an excellent job of organizing this whole thing.
Well, I have to give all the glory to God, because without him, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So but we have a caller. State your name and what part of town you're calling from.
You're on the air.
This is George.
Hey, George from Grandview. All right. How you doing, George?
That would be me. I was just thinking, I think the biggest thing that is blocking all that is hope. Hope in our kids. Kids that realize and have hope in the fact that they can be successful at things. And I think one of the most vital things we can do is have parents teaching kids they can be successful. And that's not an easy thing to do. And it takes a lot of patience, a lot of love. It takes watching the kids screw up starting things when they're little and praising them for it. And keeping in mind that we love them. And the thing we're trying to do isn't to get them to do the job, but to learn to accomplish and to learn to have hope in their own capabilities.
Hey, right on, George. Thanks for calling it this morning. And by the way, I think we can mention the book. George is a fan of the book Real Love in Parenting. It's a book by Greg Bear, and that's probably why he's so passionate about it this morning. And it's part of the equation too, right, Carl?
As a matter of fact, in responding to what George was talking about, one of the things that I did at that discussion was talk about my little tell the truth about the youth, statement that I made when Channel 19 allowed me to do the show, Teens Talking to Teens. I used the theme song, Tell the Truth About the Youth. There are a lot of positive things that we need to talk about where young people are concerned. And in keeping with what George just said, I actually lectured for almost 20 years on the topic, No One Rises to Low Expectations.
Mm.
And when I first said that in the 80s, I had no idea that there were as many educators, administrators, who felt that they needed that to be said, not only to the students, but the teachers as well. Mm-hmm. But where hope is concerned, I'm going to say it again, young people learn more by example than they do by instruction. So whatever the plight of the parents and guardians, those who are immediately around children, and most particularly our faith-based organizations, our churches, our mosques, our synagogues, our young people need to be exposed to a manifestation of hope that says to them, you can do this. When Ron McMillan says he likes that book, Yes, I Can. When Barack Obama's mantra was, Yes, I Can. This and Reverend Jesse Jackson, Keep Hope Alive. We definitely need to do that.
I want to say sometime that the kids are the hope.
And that's a good point.
When it comes to finances and what your pocket looks like, a lot of parents believe that that's an adult's business. But the reality is that the kid sees what you go through, mm-hmm. whether it is in a positive yes. manner or a negative manner. And if it's in a positive manner, what I would encourage people to do is have that child walk through that financial crisis with you.
Yes.
Because sometimes yes. kids have a resilience and an understanding that just might get you out of that situation a lot quicker than if you just treated them as a small-minded child.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's it.
No, you just reminded me of a segment of the show that I'll be doing. Each panelist will be talking about what they're going to talk about, but I have a segment of the show, and it is called Having to Revive After 75. And I'm going to be talking about what I have done wrong mm-hmm. and allowing people to come through what I pray will be my revival as a segment on the program, because I have been sustained more by friendship and things that people have done for me than my own wisdom. Mm-hmm. So don't think because I'm hosting the show that I'm the one that has the financial wisdom. It'll be my guests.
Well, I notice when I allow my kids to be involved in certain aspects of finances that they do have good ideals.
Yes.
And that they sometimes have warning signs that keep you out of. Now, you know, Mama, you know, if you,
yes.
it's annoying yes. at the same time. You know, who wants to listen to somebody who's young? But at the same time, it may be just that hope that you need to get to the next platform or the next paycheck or whatever the case may be. Yep. And then it sets them up for a better future if they're being educated right along with you.
Yes.
You know, a friend of mine, their dad died at a very early age. So then they had several kids. And he said they all sat around the table every month when the mom paid the bills. So mom showed them all how it all worked, how much money they put. And every paycheck, she started getting them used to the idea that she put so much money aside for electricity and so much aside for, you know, whatever the other bills were. And then when it came to bill paying time, all the kids were right there to see how it all worked.
Now you're talking.
But that see, even that takes discipline to actually put your money here, there. Oftentimes, before you even get to the table, there is 10 other things that are grabbing at your money, whether it be taxes, whether it be, you know, insurances and things that you have to pay for before you even get your check. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of issues, but I think it is important, whether you're struggling or not, that you have those kids sitting there and understand what it is that you're going through.
Hey, just before we leave, I want to make sure that Mr. Boyd tells us, how can people watch the show?
As a matter of fact, we are just beginning. I want to give you the number to BEU, and we'll probably start out on the BEU website, but please call Marvin Lyman, 816-474-1080, 816-474-1080, and it is Marvin at BEU.org. My name is Carl Boyd, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey, Carl, great to have you this morning. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
What a great show. Thanks, Khadija.
Toot, toot.
Toot, toot from Khadija. And, of course, we want to thank Brother Kareem, as always, for taking our calls this morning. Larry J is coming up next with that sweet Southern soul. And you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We're going to close it out with Stevie, as always. Thanks again to Carl Boyd and everybody that called in this morning.